Hello, my name is Jennifer Trant. I'm going to explore how social tagging might enable access to collections online, looking particularly at the work of Steve Dott Museum. Steve is a collaboration exploring the contributions social tagging and folksonomy could make to enabling access to online art museum collections. Together, we are looking at tagging tools, exploring the nature of a tagging application designed for art or other visual materials, studying the results of tagging in a number of experimental environments, and examining how tagging and folksonomic terminology might improve online access to collections. In this presentation, I will review our motivations for investigating social tagging and folksonomy, highlight the research questions we're exploring, review some of the progress we've made with an open source tagger, and present some preliminary findings. I'd like to acknowledge that the research reported here is funded in part by the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services through a National Leadership Grant. Many cultural institutions have invested heavily in documenting collections and in making them available online. Digital cultural heritage is now widely available on the web, but is it accessible? Searching collections successfully requires a correspondence between the searcher and the institution. What the searcher remembers from an in-gallery visit, or what the searcher already knows of the subject matter, must correspond with what the cultural institution records. Unfortunately, often what visitors remember and what museums choose to emphasize about works is not the same. As an example, the in-gallery label of this Winslow Homer painting, benignly entitled The Gulf Stream, speaks of the imminent death of the man depicted, either from the sharks surrounding his helpless, tossing boat or from the approaching waterspout. These are memorable forces of nature. But a search of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's website for Shark finds only one work from the collection, a version of the famous Watson and the Shark. It's not the one the visitor can picture in her visual memory, not the work that stuck in her mind from her trip to the museum. The search doesn't fail because the work is not well documented. The online catalog entry for the Gulf Stream is quite extensive. It just doesn't remark on this key visual element. Its detailed notes do report on the record-breaking $4,000 asked when the work was first offered for sale in 1901. But the curatorial interest in the work's critical reception differs significantly from the user's point of engagement. Sharks. These kinds of mismatches exist not just in online searching. Consider the kinds of reference requests cultural institutions regularly receive. This one from the Metropolitan Museum reads, "Please help. I've been looking on and off for years for this painting. The painting is of a very well-dressed Renaissance man standing in a room, a library. In front of him, on a table, is a large hourglass. The painting has very rich colors. I've talked to a lot of people, and they've said they've seen this painting, but can't remember its name or the name of the artist. Could you please use your resources to find this painting?" If you're lucky and you receive this kind of request in a museum, by asking around, you might be able to identify the requested work. But finding what JP's searching for won't depend on a match between what the researcher knows, a painting, Renaissance, a standing, very well-dressed man in a library by a table with rich colors. It won't depend on a match between that and what the institution knows, which is a great deal, but a very narrow part of the work's history, its provenance, its technique, its dimensions, its acquisition history. Indeed, There's only one point of overlap between these two perspectives. We're looking for a man. Good luck. Regular encounters with queries like these have convinced us that for some purposes we need to find a way to augment the descriptions of works in our collections. But how? What if we asked users to help describe works of art? Tagging might provide a way to augment thin descriptions of works and improve access to collections. As an example, these are the points of overlap between terms supplied by volunteers to describe this painting and the researcher's description in the query cited above. Tagging has emerged on the World Wide Web as a way for users to describe electronic records of interest to them. Tags help users organize resources, to cluster them into related groups, and to find them again. One of the more popular tagging services is Delicious, a site in which you can tag any website. Once described, a site can be searched by any Delicious user. Here are just a few of the sites tagged Museum in Delicious. In Flickr, an online photo sharing application, users tag their photographs and make them available for others to view and use under particular licenses. Museum is one of the most popular tags in Flickr. There are over 2 million user photographs tagged museums. These tags enable photographs to be searched and browsed. This tag cloud sizes the tags based on the number of images it describes. The more images there are, the bigger the type. Tags are also used on siteyoulike.org as a means of organizing scholarly references and sharing citations. The tag list is one of the major navigational tools on this site. Tagging has also become a game. At espgame.org, you can guess the tags that your partner is going to assign to an image. The faster you match, the more points you get, and it's addictive. Tagging, then, offers a way to capture user perceptions and make them available to support online searching. The Steve.Museum Research Project is exploring this possibility, particularly in relationship to art museums. Initially, it seems quite simple. A user tags an object, and the tag is recorded for future searching. But it's not so simple. Different users see different things in works of art or other resources, depending on their background and their interests. Tagging behavior differs depending on the environment, the interface, and the purpose of the tagging tool. To understand these variables, a collaboration of art museums and professionals that support them has come together in the Steve.Museum project. We're studying how social tagging and the resulting folksonomy could support access to collections online. We're pursuing a multi-strand, collaborative research agenda, exploring different aspects of user tagging of online resources. We're interested in the tagging environment. We'd like to know how variations in the tagging interface change user behavior. So we've designed some experiments that we're conducting at tagger.steve.museum. We would also like to know more about folksonomy, a word used to describe the collection of tags assigned by many users. We'd like to determine what kinds of terms are assigned, how they differ among taggers, how they differ across works of art, and how they change when the interface changes. We'd like to know how user tags relate to the documentation traditionally produced by museums. So we're comparing tags to museum records to see if they represent new ideas, recording things that we haven't mentioned. We're also comparing tags to WordNet, a lexical database, to see if tags are indeed words and what kinds of words they are. We're comparing tags to the Art and Architecture Thesaurus and Union List of Artists' Names to see if users contribute specialist terms from the art historical disciplines. And we're comparing tags to the terms used in online collections catalogs to see if tags might indeed improve access. Finally, We're reviewing tags in relation to the works of art themselves, to see if user-contributed tags are indeed applicable. This seems to be the only way to answer questions about the qualitative contribution of social tagging. Through our collaborative research, we hope to learn what constitutes an effective tagging interface prior to deploying tagging on museum sites. We've developed an open-source tagger software to support our work. It also provides the foundation for future tagging implementations. And over the course of a year, starting in late March 2007, the Steve Tagger is being made available in a number of different configurations, each guided by hypotheses about specific user behaviors. We wonder if users need to have a close association with a collection in order to tag and to continue tagging. To explore this, we've launched our tagging experiment in two venues. At tagger.steve.museum, anyone can tag works drawn from participating collections. And privately, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, invited taggers can use a branded version of the Steve Tagger to tag only Met works. Parallel installations allow us to compare what users do in different contexts. Each version of the Steve Tagger software presents works of art and invites users to tag. Tags entered can be corrected or deleted, and we're logging when this occurs. Over the course of our experiments, we're changing the tagger to test hypotheses about user behavior. Here, the user sees metadata about the work of art. Does this change their tags? What about when the user sees no information about the work? Do they enter more tags? Are they less accurate? We'll compare tags contributed when object descriptions are shown and when they're not to see if we can answer this question. What happens when users see the tags that others have given a work of art? Do they continue to enter those tags with a sort of echo effect? Or does tagging stop at a particular point? We also wonder if users get in the groove when they're tagging groups of like works. Do they enter the same kind and number of tags when works are encountered randomly and when works are encountered in thematic clusters? In our experiments, some users are seeing sets of works to tag, while others just get random works. We'll compare the tags assigned in both of these environments to see what we can learn. This ongoing year of data collection that we are in the midst of now will be followed by a year of data analysis. The results of our studies will help us understand how users tag art in order to make recommendations about how to deploy tagging on museum sites most effectively. While some museums, like the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney, are more experimental and have launched collection tagging on their website live now, not all cultural institutions are that adventurous. Working together in Steve.museum has provided a low-risk environment for us to explore the potential of this new tool. The early results of our research seem promising. Since late March, we've collected over 28,000 tags. Of these tags, about 50%, more than 14,000 terms, don't match any part of the museum documentation. Tagging does seem to be making a contribution. We've also seen some variations in tagging depending on the interface. Taggers seem to provide more tags when presented with groups of like works. In the first phase of our experiment, the average number of tags per work was 4.6 for users who saw random works and 5.8 for users who saw sets. That's about 25% more works when they're presented in sets. People may indeed get in the groove. We'll see if this holds true later in the study. We're also finding that taggers who do not see metadata enter more tags. There were an average of 4.5 terms supplied when metadata was shown, compared to 5.7 when an image was shown without any description. Again, that's more than 25% more tags when users didn't see the museum's description. Does this mean that they don't enter terms that are already on the screen? We need to study this further, and we'll be exploring that question in our analysis. We're reviewing tags now to see if they're applicable to works of art. Taggers do seem to be providing useful terms, like the ones here: danger, lost at sea, storm, and sharks, even desperation, and likely to die. All of these seem fitting. But there are some problems. There is no rocky shore in this picture, and those are definitely not dolphins. And what about David Hockney? We're not sure what that tag means in relationship to this work of art. While we've had very few incidences of the use of profanity in tags, museum staff still have questions about whether or not user contributions are accurate and appropriate. Descriptive tags seem easy to assess, but what about those that reflect an opinion or a personal perspective? We're building tools to facilitate term review so that we can understand the decisions museum staff might have to make about particular types of tags. Are there ways to automate this process in the future? We're investigating. Tag review is important in this experimental stage because policy decisions about the deployment of user-contributed tags need to be guided by real experience. The results of our tag analysis will have specific implementation effects. We're also learning something about museum staff attitudes. We've asked them to tell us what they think about tagging in a baseline questionnaire. A preliminary analysis confirms some of the sense of possibility felt by the project participants, but also surfaced some concerns. As one respondent commented, "Social tagging may lead to misinformation and false returns on searches. If a user can't trust our search, they may cease to use the site. Museum sites automatically enjoy credibility. We don't want to lose that advantage." We need to understand whether or not these preconceptions and fears are grounded in fact, or just a sense of mis-ease that's based on a lack of information. Once we've distributed the results of our research, we'll repeat this survey to see if attitudes have changed. You can follow the results of our work at www.steve.museum. We're making reports available regularly. One of the things we're discovering is that there's a lot cultural institutions could learn from tagging. As we review user-submitted tags, we're reminded that different people see different things in works of art. Different people know different things about specialist topics. Tagging seems to be a way of listening to our audience and of learning what it is that they notice. Tagging is also a way to let visitors tell us what they see. There aren't very many ways that users can talk back, other than writing in a guest book. Tags are a direct method of communication. Tagging may also offer a way for visitors to become more closely involved with collections. We sense that tagging is an activity that encourages people to look more deeply. We'll be surveying taggers to see what kinds of things they enjoy from the activity and to learn how it is we can keep them involved, looking closely at our collections, because taggers are making significant contributions. Tagging may all help us meet the challenge of describing the vast number of works in our collection. Unfortunately, this is not a new problem. The Met lamented in 1910 that their printed catalogs were out of date before they left the press. In our digital environment, records are being created faster than we can catalog them. And since we can often only create thin descriptions, accessibility is suffering. Social tagging and folksonomy might provide some of the richness that our records are lacking. Tagging of collections may enable our users to help us provide better access. One of the best ways to learn about tagging is to try it yourself. come to tagger.steve.museum, sign up for an account that helps with our research, and then tag some art. And while you're doing it, think about the ways in which user-contributed content could improve access to your collections online. Think about the ways that just describing what you see improves the documentation of the work that you're looking at. It's important to remember that we're not advocating that user-contributed tags replace the work of professional museum staff. Rather, we're hoping for a partnership between the custodians of a cultural trust and the citizens for whom we keep it. Through tagging, users can help us to see what it is they value in the works in our care and help us provide access to that work for them. We're very interested in your feedback. Please feel free to contact me with any questions. If necessary, I'll put you in touch directly with one of the many collaborators who've contributed to the research reported here. Thank you very much for listening.